You're listening to a UC San Diego podcast.
So the last example we saw in the last lecture was this. So, as I said, the problem here is that this is 1 over x, right? So, the problem is that from 0 to 1, this is 1, this is 0. So at 0, this graph goes to infinity, right? This graph goes to infinity when x gets close to 0. So this is also called an improper integral. So as I said, 1 is okay. At 1, there is no problem. At 1, the graph, the f of 1 is 1. So we do like limits, and then 0, I mean, 1 is okay, but instead of 0, we put b here, right? So instead of considering this interval, we consider b to 1, and then we let b get closer and closer to 0. And we want b to be always on the right side of 0, right? Because if b is on the left side of 0, it's not good. Then I'm going to have this interval, and in this interval, there is a discontinuity. At 0, it's again infinity, right? I don't want to be this big interval, because then I can't do Riemann sums again. At this point, it's infinity. So that's why I want b to get closer and closer from right. So that's why when you write the limit, x goes to 0, you have to say from x goes to 0 from right. So I want b to get closer and closer to 0 from right. And then this is 1 over x dx. So we already computed this last time, and we saw that it diverges, right? We computed it. Diverges means it's either infinity or it doesn't exist. When we say converges, it means that the limit exists, and it's a number. So let's see another example of an improper integral. What if I have the same graph, but from minus 1 to 0? Right? So this is 1 over x. So from minus 1, this is minus 1. This is minus 1, and this is 0. So I have the same problem here, right? At minus 1, it's minus the value of 1 over minus 1 is minus 1. But at 0, it's again go to infinity. So here, this is also improper integral because, again, at 0, it goes to infinity. So 1 over 0, right? At 0, this is 1 over 0, and it doesn't exist. So in that case, again, I do limit. What? So now, minus 1, there is no problem on minus 1, right? At minus 1, the graph is continuous and everything is good, so I just keep it there. But 0 is the problem here again. So 0, at 0, it goes to infinity. So instead of 0, I put b, and when b goes to what? When b approaches 0. Yeah. I want b to approach 0 so that this is minus 1 to 0. But this is from right or from left? From left. Yeah. Exactly. This is from left because here you want b to be on the left side of 0, right? You want minus 1 to b, and then you want b to get closer and closer to 0 from left. So I want b to get closer and closer to 0 from left. so that I, so because then I have minus 1 to b, and in this interval, 1 over x is good. Everything is continuous and everything is good. So I can let b get closer and closer to 0 from left. I can't let it go to the right side, because if it's to the right of 0, then in this interval, I also have 0 in it. And f of 0 is not defined. In this big interval, 0 is a part of that interval, if it's big. So I want, so it's, so b has to approach 0 from left. So minus means approaching from left, plus means approaching from right. And then you can find the limit. And this is 1 over x dx. So, and the way you find the limit is the same as before. So this is limit b approaches 0 from left. 1 over x means ln of, the antiderivative is ln absolute value x from minus 1 to b. And this is limit when b approaches 0 from left. Ln of absolute value of b minus ln of absolute value of minus 1, right? So b is negative. B is approaching 0 from left. It means that b is negative, right? If b is approaching 0 from left, it means that b is negative. B is less than 0. Approaching from left means it's less than 0. Approaching from right is larger than 0. So now this is, so b is less than 0. So ln of b means ln of, so absolute value of b is minus b, right? Absolute value of b minus b, because b is negative. Minus ln of 1. Absolute value of minus 1 is 1. So b is negative, so minus b is positive. So this is defined, right? Ln of something positive. And when b approaches 0 from left, this is, so this approaches 0, so this is 0, very close to 0, minus b. Ln of minus b, ln of minus b, then b, minus b is close to 0, is negative infinity. This is 0, ln of 1 is 0, this is negative infinity. That's just the property of ln. That's just the property of natural log. Natural log goes to negative infinity when x goes to 0. So this also diverges. How did I get negative infinity? How did I get negative b? Because b is negative, right? B is negative. If b is negative, absolute value of b is negative b. If you have a negative number, like negative 5, absolute value of negative 5 is 5, is negative negative 5. If you have a positive number, absolute value of b is equal to b, if b is positive. If b is negative, absolute value of b is negative b. Here, b is negative. It does make it positive, but negative b is positive, right? Negative b is positive because b is negative. So b is negative. Let's say b is negative. If it's negative 1, then absolute value is 1. So if you have a negative number, absolute value of that is negative, that number, right? So negative b is positive. Here, negative b is a positive number because b isn't a negative number. So this diverges. So let's see another example. Right. So you don't always need to sketch the graph. You can see what happens when x approaches these numbers. So when x is 0, there is no problem here. This is a square root of 4, right? So when x approaches 0, when x is 0, this is just 1 over a square root 4. And then it's from 0 to 2. When x gets larger than 0, it's still okay, right? It's still okay until x is 2. When x is 2, this is 0. 4 minus 4, this is 1 over 0. So when x is 2, this goes to infinity. Right? When x is 2, this is 2 squared is 4. This is 4 minus 4 is 0. So that's 1 over 0. So this goes to infinity when x goes to 2. So this is an improper integral. That's the definition of an improper integral. That's one of the cases. So again, I need to write it as the limit of from what? So what is this? This is 0, because, yeah. But instead of 2, I have to put b. I have to change that. So b approaches 2. B approaches this number. And then from left or from right? So I have to see, is it approaching from left or from right, right? I want it to be between 0 and 2. Between, you know, I don't want it to be greater than 2. Everything here, so this integral is from 0 to 2. So everything is between 0 and 2. Everything is less than 2. Between 0 and 2 means always less than 2. So it's always less than 2. So it must be from left. Yes. So the question is, which one do I choose as B? Why didn't I choose this one to be B? Right? So which one should I choose to be B? And so the answer is the one that causes problem, right? 0 is no problem here. This is 4 minus 0. That's 1 over 2. The one that causes problem is 2. That's 1 over 0. So that's the one that makes this go to infinity. So the one that makes this go to infinity. 0 doesn't make this go to infinity. This is 1 over 2. But 2 is 1 over 0, and that goes to infinity. So, yeah. And then to decide if this is from left or from right, so if it's, so this is the bottom one and the top one. If it's top one, it's always from left. If it's bottom one, it's always from right. Because of what I said. So if it's the top one, like here, this means from 0 to 2. So in this integral, x is always between 0 and 2. So x is always less than 2. Between 0 and 2 means less than 2. And less than 2 means approaching from left. Approaching from left means approaching from less values. And approaching from right means approaching from larger values. So, yeah. It doesn't make sense if x is if b is larger than 2 here. Because if x is larger than 2, this is not even defined. If x is larger than 2, this is 4 minus something bigger than 4. This is negative. This is the square root of a negative number. This is not even defined. And this is just 4 minus x squared dx, right? So how, and then you need to find the integral. In some cases, the integral is easy to find. 1 over x, you can just find integral. You don't need any technique. But it's not always the case. In this case, you need something to find that integral. You need some technique to find it. And this is what we already studied before. This is this is substitution. In order to find this integral, to find the antiderivative, the method we used for this kind of integrals was trigonometric substitution. So how should I find this integral? Exactly. So x is 2 sine theta. I have to do substitution. So So I skipped some steps here. So the question is, why did I put 2 here? I skipped some steps. So how did we do this kind of integrals? I factored 4, right? That was the method I was doing. If it was 1 minus x squared, I just choose x to be sine. If it's not 1, if it's anything other than 1, I factor that number. So here you factor 4, and then you get 1 minus x squared over 4, and then you choose x over 2 to be sine. So I'm skipping some steps here. But then in the end, you're going to get x is 2 sine theta. X over 2 is sine theta. So x over 2 is sine theta. Maybe I should, yeah. If you do the method I did, you get this, which means x is 2 sine theta, right? And then dx, d theta. So the derivative of that with respect to theta is 2 cosine theta. The derivative of sine is cosine. And that means, so dx is 2 cosine theta d theta. So that's equal to, this is limit when d goes to 2 from the negative, 2 from left. So that's 1 over the square root of 4 minus so x is 2 sine theta. So x squared is 4 sine squared theta, right? And dx is 2 cosine theta d theta. So I'm just replacing dx by 2 cosine theta d theta, and I'm replacing x by 2 sine theta. X is 2 sine theta, so x squared is a square of that, which is 4 sine squared theta. And you can factor 4 here. If you factor 4, that's the square root of 4, that's 2. So that's limit. That's limit when b goes to 2 from left, 0 to b integral. And so you can factor 2 here. That's 1 over 2. And 1 minus sine squared is cosine. So that's just 1 over cosine. And this is 2 cosine d theta. So this is just 1. This is just integral of 1. I'm skipping again some steps. I'm factoring 4 here, and then the square root of 4 is 2, and then that's 1 over 2, and 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. The square root of cosine squared is cosine. So that's what you get. And then limit b approaches 2 from left. This is just 1. Integral of 1. This whole thing is 1. You cancel out. So it's just integral of 1. Integral of 1 is theta. From 0 to b. And that means limit when b goes to 2 from left. So theta from 0 to b means b minus 0, right? So this is just b minus 0. Actually, no. This is, theta is not from 0 to b. So theta is, so x is from 0 to b, right? X is from 0 to b. Theta is not from 0 to b. So x, what you should do is this. So this is theta, right? But from what? So x is from, I mean, theta is from, x is from 0 to 2. Then what is theta? Theta is arc sine of x over 2, right? So again, as I said, this is a definite integral. when you do substitution in a definite integral, either you can change back everything in terms of x and then write x is from 0 to b, or you can keep it in terms of theta and then change the limits. So let's change that in terms of x as before. So what is theta? So this is not from 0 to b. This is from something to something else. But I want to make that back in terms of x. So what is theta in terms of x? So from here, theta is arc sine of x over 2, right? Theta is arc sine x over 2. From 0 to b. So now you can say it's from 0 to b, because x is from 0 to b. I can't say from 0 to b here, because theta is not from 0 to b. X is from 0 to b. So this is from something to something. What is that? Actually, you can work it out. What is this? So theta is arc sine x over 2. So instead of 0, you have to put arc sine 0. And instead of b, you have to put arc sine b. You can put that here. So this means, so this is from arc sine 0 to arc sine b over 2. I'm not using that, so even if you don't, so I mean this is good enough. So now from here I can compute that. So this means limit when b goes to 2 from left, arc sine of b over 2 minus arc sine of 0. So this means so when b goes to 2, arc sine of b over 2 goes to arc sine of 2 over 2. So that's just arc sine of 1. Minus arc sine of 0. What is arc sine of 1? Pi over 2. Arc sine of 1 means what's the angle that its sine is 1? Sine of what is 1? Sine of pi over 2 is 1. And arc sine of 0 is 0, because sine of 0 is 0. This is pi over 2. So, as I said, this is a definite integral, and then we do substitution. It's going to be in terms of theta, but then you can write theta in terms of x, and after you write it in terms of x, you write the limits. Or instead of doing this, I can do this. I can just keep it in terms of theta, right? In here, I don't have to write it back in terms of x. I can keep it in terms of theta, but then I have to change the limits. What are the limits? So x is between 0 and b. So when x is 0, what is theta? All right, x is between 0 and 2. So when x is 0, what is theta? When x is 2, what is theta? When x is 0, theta is arc sine of x over 2. So theta is arc sine of 0. So instead of 0, I have to put arc sine of 0. When x is 2, what is theta? When x is b, what is theta? This is from 0 to b. So when x is b, what is theta? When x is b, theta is arc sine of b over 2. So that's from arc sine of 0 to arc sine of b over 2. So I can just, if I continue here, this means arc sine of b over 2 minus arc sine of 0. So I get the same answer. It doesn't matter which way you do it. If you do it this way, then you can just, from here, you can go straight to this step. You don't need this step. So that's just for definite integrals when you do substitution. Yes? Yes, your question is, why did I choose this substitution? So whenever you have 1 over a square root of some number minus x squared, that's the substitution that you do. And I gave you some examples on that, and the way I did it was I factored 4, and then if you factor 4, you're going to get 1 minus x squared over 4. And that means 1 minus x over 2 is squared. And in that case, I choose x over 2 to be sine. There are examples on that in your notes. So, yeah. That's why I didn't do all the steps here. This is so in this case, the improper integral, the answer is a number. It's not infinity. It's a number, and it does exist. So in this case, we say that that improper integral converges. So we say that this integral converges. Converges to pi over 2. So that integral converges to pi. Yeah. Sorry, can you say that louder, really? Yeah, you mean here, how did I find the limit, right? How did I find the limit here? So when b approaches 2, this is just arcsine of, this is just arcsine of 2 over 2, right? 2 over 2 means 1, arcsine of 1. So, yeah. To find the limit, sometimes it's just, if it's, so how do you find the limit? So that's the question of finding the limit. So the limit, this is continuous. If you have a continuous function, arcsine is a continuous function. You just substitute it here. Just b is 2. B is approaching 2. I can just say b is 2. Yeah. If I have something that goes to infinity, then it's going to be infinity, and then it diverges. So that's examples like this. This is an example that it doesn't approach a number. So in this case, I can't just sub in 0 here. That's a difference. So here, to find the limit, all I do is just say b is 2. So this is 2 over 2. This is arcsine of 1. But here, to find the limit, I can't just sub in 0 here because it's not a continuous function at 0. Arcsine is a continuous function at 0. Ln is not, natural log. So I can't just say ln of 0. Ln of 0 is not even defined. So when you say b is approaching 0 from left, it means that b is not equal to 0. B is very close to 0, but less than 0. B is less than 0, but very close to 0. So this is defined in that case and is approaching negative infinity. Here, arcsine is defined at 1. Arcsine of 1 is defined. Arcsine is a continuous function at 1. So I can just say this is arcsine of 1. Yeah. Any question? So I'm going to start the quiz now. Next lecture, I'm going to go to 7.8. So there's not going to be any question on this stuff. It's just going to be 7.4 and 7. There is no question on improper integrals in your quiz. If you have any extras, please return it to me. Just split it. Sorry. Yeah. Just the partial fractions. Don't find the interrupt yet. In question one, just find the partial fractions. You don't need to find the integral. There is no integral there. Just find the partial fraction.
The answer to that is pretty. You don't need a calculator.
Mm-hmm. So I should do that. So is it like the answer?
I mean, no. I mean, it's easy. So the sine of those angles are easy angles. Yeah. You don't need approximation.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, what I mean is for sine of those angles. Yeah, you don't need a calculator for sine of those angles. They're easy angles. See. Yeah. You have to find it. You have to find A and B.
You need to find A and B.
You have to find A and B. You have to find A and B, question one. I said don't find the integral, but I did say find A and B, yeah. You can't talk while this is an exam, right? No, you have to find A and B. Partial fraction means everything, means A and B. Yeah. You have 5 minutes.
Square root of cosine squared. That's cosine.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Just a partial fractions, yeah.
time is over. Thank you. Can we have everything? Thank you. Thanks. We're done? Or are we finished? Okay. Okay. You guys don't have any.
This has been a UC San Diego podcast. For more, visit podcast.ucsd.edu.